This is Skip Mancini. I'm so glad you could come in, get out of the hot sun, and set a spell. It's time for Growing on the High Plains.
Well, one thing's for sure. This summer is certainly flying by, and I'm not just talking about the calendar. No summer in recent memory has been so loaded with things that hum, whir, or buzz, and the flight paths for each insecticidal squadron seem to be centered around me. I'm not talking about the bad boys of the airways, mosquitoes with their threatening whine and blood-sucking attacks, or wasps who always seem to be grouchy, cranky, and downright mean for no good reason. But I seem to be keeping company with great numbers of bees this year, probably because I try to do everything in my power to provide them with happy habitat and abundant nectar sources. And when I'm surrounded by their motorized movement in the garden or flower bed, I make a point of trying to tell my fast-beating heart that slow and steady movements are best intercepted as non-threatening to these hard workers of the insect world. I don't think any of my summer visitors are honeybees, because most are too varied in size, shape, and markings. Rather, I think I've been invaded by lots of visiting relatives, the secondary bees, the B-list bees of apiary society. The most easily identifiable by appearance and sound is the bumblebee. Large, loudly droning, and almost lazy-looking, these big boys of the bee world prefer to live in small colonies that usually number less than 50. They don't reside in hives, but rather in nests that are often underground, in tunnels that have originally been constructed by other insects or small animals. Within their small colonies, they do have a queen, and males utilized for mating, and workers to tend and feed the baby bees. But bumblebees don't produce honey, and don't normally overwinter like honeybees. Though they can sting, they're usually non-aggressive, and will only use their stinger if forced to protect the nest or their own well-being. Bumblebees are fairly slow-moving in flight and very noisy, with a distinctively low buzz that is not produced by the beating of their wings, but by the vibrating flight muscles as they ferry their large yellow and black striped forms from flower to flower. But bumbles are just as hardworking as honeybees and are used as professional pollinators in the production of greenhouse tomatoes. In the musical world, those big fuzzy insects have their own theme song, Rimsky-Korsakov's The Flight of the Bumblebee, although after spending a summer with these guys, I think the music is a little fast-paced for the slow-moving and methodical movements I've seen. Other smaller bees that seem to have made my garden their home might be mason bees or sweat bees. Sweat bees are a quarter to a half inch in size and come in various colors. They're so named because they're attracted to the salts in human perspiration, and if you swat them on your skin, you'll get a mild sting in return. Mason bees are smaller than honeybees and are solitary and non-aggressive. Masons get their name from the fact that they make a nest of mud hardened into clay that's usually formed in holes left by wood-boring insects. They're also sometimes called orchard bees because they're excellent pollinators, and many fruit producers encourage their residents by providing housing in the form of boards with preformed holes. These and other wild bee types are becoming endangered because of loss of habitat and increased use of chemicals. Planting nectar-yielding flowers and developing tolerance rather than fear of these buzzing garden buddies are two ways gardeners can give them a better chance of survival.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and produced by Skip Mancini.